who has all power and glory and might, allows us, me, to come into his presence and kneel before him and bring my petitions to his throne. And he says that he does that because he cares for us. Sometimes we go through this life and it can be pretty hectic, can it not? And things seem like they're kind of unraveling even sometimes personally. And that God, is, he even know what's going on in my life. And yet we know that he knows every hair, he says, that's on our head. And that's always changing, by the way, is it not? And yet he wants us to come and spend time with him. I'm amazed. And he invites us to come boldly, confidently, he says, to that throne of grace. We are continuing our study here in our School of Prayer on the Bachelor of Prayer. There are four sessions in this one-year course that we're doing here. We're in the second one on the journey of power. We're in our sixth lesson on this one here, and tonight we're encountering what we will call the peak of habit. This is kind of set up for the, if you're familiar with the story on Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you have never read Pilgrim's Progress out of curiosity? You never read it or never heard of it. It's worth your reading. Written by John Bunyan when he was put in prison and makes incredible analogies. I remember reading it as a new Christian. It just impacted me a lot. I'm getting to where my eyes don't get to look and see things very clearly. So if I can find an audio of it, I'll listen to it on audio. Let me encourage you that if you haven't, you ought to get that book or the audio version and listen to that story. It is a real challenge of the Christian life. And so we're looking at mountains and valleys and coves in our study here in Journey of Power. And tonight we're talking about the peak of habit. We're talking about prayer here. And we'll be talking about the peak of habit here this evening. And it's interesting, we've already spent several weeks in the first session on spending an hour with the Lord as Jesus says, what could you not pray with me 1 hour? All of this has been developed off of Andrew Murray's book, With Christ in the School of Prayer. And so it's a very, very powerful series that will help you and I to understand what we have, not only in Christ, but the tools and the availability that we actually can come at any moment in his presence that brings, I think, great delight to him. I think he takes pleasure in seeing us come and spend time with him. But I was thinking this week that as we go through these studies here, what profit is there in these studies on prayer, or what profit is there? I have them over here. We handed out the prayer maps where you can go around on whatever date it is. Today's the 22nd, and go to the 22nd day in here and find out what countries of the world. It's got your prayer map here with all the countries numbered and who to pray for. Usually it's about 5 different countries each day that you're praying for, that God would rebuke those principalities and powers over that area, that God would, that you would be an answer to his prayer, because his prayer request was, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. So you're praying for the Christians that are, the saints that are in those countries to go forth with open hands, holding the word of life to present to those that are lost or by literature, and then praying that God would remove the blinders, because Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not, so that glorious gospel of Christ, the image, the light of that glorious gospel, the image of God, would shine unto them, and that they by faith would have their hearts open, receive it by faith, and that they would, those that gladly received his word would be baptized and be discipled, and then they too would go back out. So that's what this is all about. Every single day you can be praying around the world. You might not be able to travel around the world, but you can by way of prayer. And I start thinking about that. What profit is there in these lessons? And what profit is there in having the world map to do this if we just don't do it? We just have this at home, but it's never being opened and used. Does this thing do anything by itself? No, it's only a tool. And as we do these studies, these are great tools. and Scripture. But Jesus said, happy are ye if you do them. And so it's important that I just want to encourage us that sometimes it's easy to get into a lull and go through this but not apply this. And so let me just challenge you to be thinking about that, because we're going to be talking about the peak of habit, the peak of habit tonight. And when you think about the word habit is defined as an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it almost becomes involuntary. It would kind of line up with where the Lord was talking in Luke 18, where he said, men ought always to what, everybody? Pray. And to not faint. He's talking about a habitual area of your life, that men ought always to pray. Jesus said on several occasions, and when ye pray, he is assuming that his disciples have a prayer time, a regular habitual time. So we're going to look at a couple of things here this evening here as we go through this study, if this is going to work for me, on conquering the peak and the necessity of a prayer habit, the necessity of a prayer habit. And as we get into that area there, I'll try to get some words there for you to have up on the thing. In this area of necessity, we're going to have the prayer habit developed. How do we develop a consistent prayer time every single day? And let me even say this, throughout the day. So we'll be talking about the prayer habit developed, and then the second thing we'll be looking at is the prayer habit sustained. How do we sustain that? How many of you have started something and then didn't carry on with it? Anybody here guilty of that? I've started a lot of things, and then next thing you know, it's by the wayside. And especially if it's spiritual things, because the devil will get you sidetracked. And I've got a book in my where I do my devotions. It's got all the different psalms that there's a out of every single psalm, 150 psalms, there's one verse that's taken out to memorize so that you have that psalm out of that one chapter. And I got going pretty good on that. And then I realized here not long ago that, wow, that thing's been sitting there for a while and I haven't been working on it. And so it's easy to get started, but it's another thing to sustain that. In our verse, we have verses of scriptures and some quotes here, but listen to this quote by Oswald Chambers. He says this, when a man is born from above, the life of the Son of God is born in him. That's why we're born again. And he can either starve that life or nourish it. Prayer is the way the life of God is nourished. And that's Oswald Chambers' view on that. Now, if you're taking notes and stuff, in Daniel chapter 6, it writes about Daniel and his prayer life. And in verse 10, there's already been a decree that's been made that you can't pray to any other god except to the king. And there was a law that you'd be cast into the den of lions. And it says, now when Daniel knew, he wasn't doing this, he was knowing well that he was breaking the laws of man. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees. He, in essence, lived out the song we just sang. He bowed the knee. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now here's the key part. As he did aforetime, nothing changed. When the laws of the land changed politically, that you was not politically correct to pray to anybody except the king to make a petition, he did not change at all. He was not moved. He was having his regular set times that were there that he had developed and was going now to sustain them in spite of the situation. His habit was to go and talk with his Lord, not just daily, but he had set times where he prayed morning, probably noon, and at night. He had times where he prayed 3 times a day. That is a habit, folks. That is something that he grew up, I'm sure, with, that he saw as the example in his home. Remember, there was only Daniel and 3 other Hebrews that are mentioned when they were brought in that were notable among all the thousands. And yet there was some type of home influence, because they were young men, that maybe Daniel could say, I remember my mom and dad, we prayed together this time, and this time. That was just a habit that he was brought up with, and it carried on even in these difficult situations. So we're going to talk about reaching the peak, developing consistency in daily prayer. Developing consistency in daily prayer. So let's look at the first one, the prayer habit developed. And we'll get to that here in just a second. I want to share something here real quick in one of our timeless truths. Whether you agree with this individual or not in every area, Martin Luther has a good quote concerning this area. He says, none can believe how powerful prayer is and what it is able to affect but those who have learned it by experience. You can read about it, can you not? There's books and books and books, volumes of them, on prayer. We can read about it in Scripture, Daniel praying. And even after 21 days, an angel had to intercede in that area. We can read about it, and that's exciting, and it should ignite something in us. But man, I'll tell you what, when you personally experience God doing a work through answered prayer, and this is exactly what he's talking about here. None can believe how powerful prayer is and what it is able to affect, or who it is able to affect, but those who have learned it by experience. Now, I'm convinced that there's going to be some prayers that we're going to have answered in our lives that we never won't even know about until we get to heaven. For instance, our prayer maps. I wonder that when we get there, how many people, because we were praying, and we're not just us, there's hundreds and thousands of churches that are using these, that are praying at the exact same day, and God's maybe doing a great awakening, a spiritual awakening among the lost, and a moving of the Spirit among his saints to go forth in answers to our prayers that we won't know until we get there. So let's look at the first one, the prayer habit developed, as you have here. There are four objectives in this that we'll be looking at on the prayer habit developed. The first objective for your area there is, number one, establish a specific goal. Establish a specific goal for daily prayer. Many Christians are crisis prayers. I'm going to say that again. Many truly born-again Christians who have not developed a habit of prayer are simply crisis prayers. They only pray when they're in a crisis. That's the extent of most of their prayer time. And they don't have a daily time where they can get alone from everything just to spend time with their Savior. And I believe that is what I would call quenching the Spirit, because the Spirit of Holy Spirit would be like, come on, let's fellowship. Let's fellowship. Pray in the Spirit, the Bible says. And so we have this area, Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41. Matthew records this, and he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit, very key here, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have to fulfill what Paul says, walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I'm not walking in the Spirit, I will fulfill the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the flesh doesn't want to pray. Now, it's interesting in this setting, this is in the garden before he's arrested, and his crucifixion is right around the corner when he needs his disciples the most. And he assumes that they are praying because he had taught them the power and the importance. They asked him to teach them the prayer. He comes back expecting to find them in prayer, and he finds them asleep, snoring. It's interesting to me, he comes back to the disciples, and the only one that wasn't there was Judas. He was about ready to come and break up the prayer meeting, if you would, with the soldiers and stuff. But he addresses Peter. Peter was always the outspoken one, and he addresses Peter in this. And I'm thinking to myself, why did he just I mean, imagine being Peter. I mean, you are the outspoken one. And here he comes and finds them all asleep. And he says to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you help set the standard and the example of what's needed here in this time? And I think he was a little bit harder in bringing Peter into the forefront here, simply because it was not long before, earlier, when Peter says, Lord, I will go and die with you. He was bold about declaring what he would do for Christ, and yet he couldn't take time to pray. He was taking time sleeping. And I think God is trying to do an awakening in the hearts of Christians in the local church, that the church, many times, maybe for a long time, when Jesus has come to check up on us, has been asleep. They're sleeping when they should be praying. And we wonder why temptation is being yielded to so much and so frequently and at such ungodly levels today. They've entered into temptation because of a lack of prayer. So we see that is the first area. We need to establish a specific goal for daily prayer. Secondly, we have to establish, come on up there, a set time for daily prayer. I don't know what your schedule is. You may have a different schedule than other people. You might be working nights, midnight to 8 or something like that, and that will change. Whether you have a prayer time at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. or at 12 noon or at 8 at night or at midnight, I don't know. But you should have a set time, a time that fits into your schedule that you have established. In Psalm 55, in verse 17, the psalmist says this, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. It sounds like that individual there had a set time. It didn't say it, you know, 6 p.m. or anything, but he said it evening, morning, and at noon. And by the way, notice it wasn't morning, noon, and evening. It was evening first, because the evening is the beginning of the next day. And so here we have that evening and morning when God created things were the first day. So evening comes first. I wonder how much better people would actually sleep if we actually prayed before we went to bed that night. There used to be a soft drink, Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper wanted you to not only buy their soda and drink it, they wanted you to drink it how often? 3 times, how often? A day, right? What was the time? Who remembers? Who said that? 10, 2, and 4? Who said that? Y'all remember that, see? Did everybody, who likes Dr. Pepper here? Anybody? Does anybody drink it that frequent?
Yes.
You do drink it that much? 10, 2, and 4? Oh, okay, no, not that much. Only thing they have at their house. In the New Testament, the book of Acts, it says this in Acts 3:1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. So the temple had set hours where the Jews would come and go in for that purpose. That purpose, the hour of prayer. And it was the ninth hour, so that would have been 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So that was one of the times they had set aside. They had set aside 3 o'clock to go and have prayer. There's a guy named, and I've never met him, whose name is Hallisby. He had written a book that was entitled, If You Win This Battle, You Are Well On Your Way to Victory, and it was on prayer. I've not read it. I've known somebody who had talked and shared it with me. But listen to what he says. The first and decisive battle in conjunction with prayer is the conflict which arises when we are to make arrangements to be alone with God every day. There will be a conflict. I still have those. I don't have any problem reading and doing my readings of Scripture. I never have problems with that. But there is usually a lot of times some conflicts of what it could be, you need to get going on something, or hey, you remember something, so you get up and leave your area. I've done this before. I leave my area intending to come back. I actually had that happen last week one day. I went to go do something thinking I was coming back. I never made it back for my prayer time. So the next day, I ended up having to pray for two different days on one day to keep caught up and go back. When I opened up my prayer journal where I have the church families that we pray on, I realized that I had messed somebody up because I didn't pray for them. You want to know who you were? So I went back and I gave up, prayed for them and the next day of people. I made up on that. It's like one of those things. If you miss a meal, you don't quit eating, amen? When you miss a day of prayer, double up on it when you come back. And so here we see there's that area, that conflict. A lot of times, some of the greatest battles I remember one guy saying was the battle between two things, the blankets, getting up early enough to have a set time, because a lot of times you say, my day is so full, I don't have time. Jesus got up a great while before day. He knew, and he was busy. He was busy from morning till they laid their heads down. And he would go out well before it was even day and find his place and pray. So you need to make sure you're setting up that situation, that set time, to get scheduled in there. But sometimes the battle with the blankets, wanting to get up, and then you sleep in and you don't get up, and it throws everything else off, does it not? There's a domino effect. And so that's another. Here's another area for another objective here. Number three, establish a suitable place for daily prayer. Not only a specific goal and a set time, but you need to have a suitable place for daily prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus says, but thou, here it is, he's assuming, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What an incredible verse of Scripture. So here Jesus is assuming when you have your time of prayer, whatever the set time is, go to your place, and then you get there, shut the door. Now, most of us don't have a prayer closet. My wife does, and maybe some of you do. She has a closet she set up, rearranged, and has it sitting up with her prayer stuff on the wall. And I have a place where I go, and I have all my stuff there. And I don't have a door to shut. But I also know that we don't have children anymore to disrupt it. So that can change things. Different people, different schedules. You have to arrange your stuff there. But I want you to notice what he says there. Enter into thy closet. When you look up that word, it's talking about ultimately like a bed chamber. And we're talking about, when we think about a bed chamber, the bed chamber is a place of rest and intimacy. Now, I want you to keep that in mind. That's even in the physical realm of a couple that's married. But if you take that into the mindset of prayer, it should be a place of rest and intimacy with God. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. We sing that great hymn. Think of it. It's not just a burden that I've got to do this. It's something that God helped me to anticipate it and look forward to it, as to spending time with you as you do with me. A place of no distractions. Andrew Murray, out of one of his books that he wrote, that guy is a prolific writer, he says this: the first thing that the Lord teaches his disciples is that they must have a secret place of prayer. Everyone must have a solitary spot where he or she can be alone with their God. Every teacher must have a schoolroom. And he wants us to be there under his tutelage, if you would. And then we have the fourth objective here. It's not only the place that's suitable, but now we're getting also into this fourth one, as establish a systematic plan for daily prayer. When we get into this, we find Ephesians 6:18, where it says that we are praying always. With all prayer and supplication, look what he says, the next three words, in the Spirit. That means I could be praying in the flesh, correct? And so he wants us to be conscious of our relationship, not just that we're saved by grace, but our fellowship, that we're cleansed and walking in righteousness. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. That means with all consistency. Don't be quitting. And supplication for all saints. You ought to go through the epistles, the church epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Corinthians, and go through that with the intent of looking, and usually it's in the very first chapter where Paul tells how he's praying for those church people. And make that a list of things that, how can I pray? Now, we have our church books, and if you don't have one, we're getting ready to make some new ones. We'll try to get everybody so that you can flip, and it'll be set. It's set up to where mine, I'm praying on the Stevensons and two or three other couples on Mondays, where you might be praying for the Stevensons and those couples on Tuesdays, and you might be praying for them on Wednesdays. And it's always to where everybody is getting prayed for every single day of the week. And that means they're dependent upon those who say, hey, I want one of those. That means you're volunteering that I'm committed to this. And so we're establishing a systematic plan where everybody should be getting prayed for weekly, just like every country in the world is getting prayed for monthly. And then we go back to it again and again and again. That brings us to the next area here on conquering this, and that's the prayer habit sustained. The prayer habit sustained, number two. We're going to be looking at three suggestions, and I say three suggestions because there's more that probably could be added to this. And you can probably think of some of your own, but here are simply some suggestions. Number one we're going to talk about is keep a prayer list. Keep a prayer list. Now, I've made mention before, and I say this in the right way, if you want to get off my wife's prayer list, you must die. Okay? She's praying for people that I forgot all about a long time ago. And she just keeps it down. She's the record keeper, you know. And she just is at where she's at. She probably had been praying for people for a couple of years, and then she found out they were dead, you know. But keep a prayer list. Keep names. Sometimes you think, I just don't have time to pray for all of these people. That's why you have to break it up into daily things. And sometimes in your, and I'm not saying this doesn't happen, because someday your day happens before you're ready for it to happen, not because you're being slothful or negligent. And so I think sometimes Paul must have had an incredibly long list. And so he would say, I make mention of them in my prayers. Sometimes you can only just say, Lord, I pray for Don and Helen. That I don't know what the day is bringing forth. Watch over them. Help them to walk with you. Give them opportunities, whatever. And you just make mention of it. You don't have to go through a whole big thing, right? But you can make mention of them. So you need to have a daily prayer list in that area. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, listen to what he says. And here's one of the areas how he prayed for the church there. We give thanks to God always for you all. Always making mention of you in our prayers. Now notice here, Paul is not just talking about his prayer, but he would join with others. Luke was with him a lot. Others, Timothy might be with him. They would gather together to pray. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So he says, we make mention of you always in prayer. And by the way, he's praying that they would, remembering without ceasing, he goes, your work of faith. You guys are busy in the Lord's work. We're praying for that. Your labor of love. You guys serve with agape love. You're not doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for your own benefit. You're doing it for the saints, and you're doing it. And by the way, God is not unrighteous. Hebrews says God is, I think it's chapter 6 and verse 10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you do show towards the saints. And that, and he reminds them that not only are you doing it, but you have done it in the past. God's keeping track of all of that. Your patience and hope. Ephesians 1, verse 15 and 16. He talks about how he prayed for the church at Ephesus. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I want you to notice, what a lesson here. If let's just say that you have a church thing that you're praying through, and this week, tomorrow, you're going to be praying for this group, these 3 to 5, 4 to couples here that are by name. And you say, well, I don't nearly know them very well, or you do know them, you've known them for years. The first thing he does, he goes, Lord, I just want to say thank you for Don and Helen. I want to thank you for Bud and Peggy, because they're usually on the same list together. And you start out by just saying, God, I want to thank you for these people, these brothers and sisters in Christ. They've been a blessing to others. They've been a blessing to us, yada, yada, yada. And then go on with remembering them in that area of prayer. So keep a prayer list. That's kind of a given, isn't it not? Another thing, yeah, that's yada, yada, yada. That is actually YADA. That's actually a Hebrew word, I believe. Is it, brother? You know? Suggestion number 2 is keep a prayer journal. Now, this gets into a little bit more in depth here, okay? Brother Dan Knickerbocker sells prayer journals. And what a prayer journal is, it's not just like the journal that we use for the church. You're praying for these people, but kind of like a prayer list. But a journal is you're writing down the request, and then the date maybe you started praying, and then you're looking for the answer so that you can fill that out. If you read the book that we were given to everybody at no charge because you wanted it, because you wanted to read it, is that why we take books? Because we wanted to read them? And it's only 31 chapters long, remember, so you could have read a chapter a day and been done with that 3 months ago and starting it again on With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray. It's all the thing of his journaling of praying for the orphanages he oversaw. And that wasn't Andrew Murray. That was, who am I thinking of? Somebody help me here. I can see his face. Who is it? Yeah, it is Andrew Murray's. Yeah, it is Andrew Murray. Sorry, I'm getting him mixed up with the other guy, George Mueller. George Mueller, he has a book on his recordings of his prayer requests and the date and how God answered them and the date. It's an incredible, it's like getting to sneak into your, if you're a kid, when I was a kid, maybe it was just boys, but my dad had his dresser, and the top drawer was always his junk drawer. And there was, man, me and my brother sometimes, not very often, we would sneak in there just so that we could look and dig through his junk drawer. Wow, look at this! You know, we find all these little trinkets that were exciting to us. That's like getting into George Mueller saying, let's go look at what his diary says. He printed it, had it so you could see it, to encourage the saints to get into that and see what God wants to do. And so here we see is the next one is to keep a journal. Now, this is not necessarily the same thing, but the scripture here I gave you is in Numbers 33, verse 2. But I want you to notice the mindset here and the principle. And Moses, he's talking about leading Israel, and Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their goings out. He recorded everything. Folks, we are in a spiritual journey. Now, I missed something growing up that didn't pass down to me. My mom was a person, they called them diaries. My mom was incredible at keeping diaries. Incredible. And her dad was a person who did diaries or journals. She got it from her dad. I don't know who in our family got it after that. I didn't get it. I have a hard time doing it. I can keep small stuff, but I mean, my brother got in trouble one day standing and had to go to court, and my mom had to testify for him in his defense. And she said, well, no, that didn't happen then, because in my diary I recorded this, 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 and this. And the judge said, well, how do we know you didn't just write it in there, you know, just recently to cover your son? He goes, if you have proof that you regularly journal, we might consider it for evidence. So they stopped the thing and recessed it, and she left and came back with, folks, she came back with boxes. Boom, boom, boom. From when she was a girl. And the judge starts looking through, he goes, okay, we'll take it. They accepted it, and it got my brother off the hook. So, no, it really wasn't the best wow. He was guilty, but I'm just saying, he was guilty, but it got him off the hook. Let me say something here. Bring it back to a spiritual mindset here. God is journaling everything about us, and listen, we are all guilty, and he got us off the hook. But anyway, so journaling here, keep a journal. Jeremiah does this in Jeremiah 36:2. Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. God is interested in us keeping track of what's happening, good or bad. So that's an area for a keep a prayer journal where you're actually recording more specific things. These, again, are suggestions. Keep a prayer packet. Now, I had never heard of this one before, but I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, you got a prayer list, that's, I can understand that one. And a journal, I understand that was definitely a little bit more meat on this one than that. But what is a prayer packet? And in 2 Kings 19, there is a prayer that's going to take place here in a time of great need. And in verse 14 and 15 of 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah is the king. And it says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I'm going to church. Imagine you get a letter from somebody who says, I'm going to church. He goes to the church, and he goes to the altar, and he comes there, and he lays that letter down for the Lord to look at. And he went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, what does he say? O Lord God of Israel, which, I like this, which dwellest between the cherubims. Man, that is so perfect. The mercy seat is brought into the picture here. But the reality of not just the mercy seat, but they're only a representation of what is happening. And who, listen, who you and I are going to and talking with. Which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. And we go on where he's showing that they were threatening him and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to see that in this area of this prayer packet, he didn't just go and talk to the Lord about the situation. He brought something with him. He says, God, look what they said. Yep. Yep, you could have prayer scriptures. You could a packet of things that you want to lay before the Lord. He prayed over it. I'm going to read another one here. Look at this. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 29 and 30. And this is just, again, suggestions here. Listen to what happens here in Exodus 28. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate upon of judgment upon his heart. When he goeth into the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart. When he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. So here is this, the high priest, Aaron, who begins to get his garments on. As he puts on the breastplate, it's got the 12 different stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And he bears them, it says, on his heart before the Lord as their representative. When we get into an area of intercessory prayer for another individual, we are bringing them before the Lord on our heart to intercede on their behalf. The same thing that Aaron's doing here in a different setting here. We are seeing symbolism here. In other words, you could say, I'm going to be praying for one of my parents that are not saved. I'm going to be praying for one of my children that are in a desperate need. And you can go into your time and set aside a time to pray for their salvation, pray for their deliverance, whatever that is, you're interceding on their behalf. But I think a prayer packet like that letter would be, you know what? I've got this picture of my dad. I've got this picture of my mom. I've got this picture of my son or my daughter. And you reach him, maybe it's on your phone, and you click on that and say, Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm bearing this person on my heart. Now, you think, well, that's foolish. God already knows what they look like. God already knew what that letter was about. He knew what that letter was about that Hezekiah received before the enemy ever penned it. But I think it can change, folks, the reality of our thinking. Instead of praying for my son or my daughter, when I have that picture there and I lay them before the Lord, I think it can do something in us. And God is not opposed to it, by the way. We have missionaries, correct, that we support. And missionaries leave what? Prayer cards. With what on it? Their picture. That's the only thing. And I know it's a lot of work to do our prayer directories. It's a lot of work because there's so much rearranging you have to do to make sure everybody's got different days. But man, would it maybe enhance it if we went to a 8.5 by 11 and it had their, I'm looking over this way because I know the work's going that direction if it happens, where it actually has their faces. Instead of me just praying for Bud and Peggy and Don and Helen and Roz and Rusty on those days, it has their faces on it too. But we have the church directory. We do. And they are together. We got the directory if you want to call somebody, and then you have one for prayer. So I guess you could flip back and forth to that. But I'm lazy. I want to know that when I open it, ooh, there, I'm praying for all of them. But I guess I could enhance that for that day and start doing it that way. So anyway, a guy by the name of Frederick Buchner, he was a preacher and an author. He says this, according to Jesus, by far the most important thing about praying is to keep at it. By far is to keep at it. Pray without ceasing. It has to become a habit. O thou, we have our verse up here, O thou that hearest prayer. John R. Rice's favorite verse. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Psalm 65 and 2. In your little area for your own personal journaling or thoughts, the challenge is discuss or ponder why you think it's important to have a specific goal, a set time for daily prayer. And then for prayer points, and we cut back, Tim and I talked a little bit about taking one of the songs out tonight because his throat was hurting. But also it was more for giving more time to work, because I've been doing longer lessons compared to the first session that we did, and we haven't had the time we could have for praying. And so the prayer point tonight down on your sheet is take about 2 minutes, just 2 minutes. We got about seven left. Take about 2 minutes to make a brief list of things or people you feel would be good for you to pray for daily. If you haven't done that, maybe it's somebody new that's coming to your mind. And then pray for at least one or two of those items on your list. And we're going to do that tonight. You get to do it as an individual. Sometimes we break up and do pairs or couples or families. But tonight I want you to have your own personal altar and just, God, give me some names, some things I need to be praying for right now. And help me to add those to my list until I see you answer this request. Now, I handed these out a long time ago, and I thought I'd revive them again, and I'm going to bring them back out and make them available again Sunday, because we're going to talk about how the enemy holds the lost people hostage and how we need to be praying. Lord, I pray you'd save so-and-so. Well, there's a little bit more to it than that. And so this here, I can't remember where I got it, prayer for a lost loved one or friend. And wherever there's a blank, you just put their name in it. That's all you got to do. Now, I handed these out. A lot of you took these things. And you started out using these things. But have you ceased to pray for that person that you put in there? It's easy for the devil to get us off course. I mean, these are really, really nice. I've got a bunch of them up here that you can get and use it. Lord, I worship you as my God and Savior, and thank you that you desire for, put that person's name in there to be saved and to come to know. And it gives you scripture for every one of those things that you're praying for. We have these available. They'll be up here for you to use to make your prayers for your family, your friends, your loved ones more biblical and scriptural. God loves to hear his word quoted and given back to him. That's how you pray the will of God. So let's take a few minutes here, right where you're seated. If you want to pray, you got some little ones, you want to pray with them a little bit, do that. But just make a list of a couple, two, three things, and then lift them up tonight before the Lord before we leave here. And then I'll give it about 4 or 5 minutes, and then I'll close in prayer for us this evening.